Take your business beyond fast with connectivity and network solutions from Comcast Business. Nationwide, secure, reliable. Powered by the nation's largest gig speed network.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, March 27th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. The weekend is here, finally, which means you're probably going to be spending a lot of time streaming. Normally, your lineup might include Netflix and Hulu, but this weekend you might also be adding Instagram and YouTube live streams to that list. Concerts and other gatherings have been canceled due to social distancing, but entertainers are turning to online hangouts to connect with their fans, maybe you. So we'll be talking about that in just one moment. But first, our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, is back to share another work from home tech tip of the day. Joanna, welcome back.
I am so excited about today's tips.
Hang on. Can you hang on just one second? I have to text my family and tell them that we are doing this interview. Hang on. On the mic, please be quiet. Okay. Sorry.
I see what you did there. You completely upstaged me and took my tip, and that's fine. I'm not needed anymore on this show. But for those listening, my tip is, look, I won't even say this is my tip. This is from so many of our listeners and so many of our readers that I'm not going to take credit for it. This tip has to do with telling all your new colleagues, and by colleagues, I mean your spouse and your children and your dogs and whoever else you live with, that you are on a very important phone call or in a very important meeting or recording a very important podcast. And so we got lots of people writing in, sending messages about how they tell the people they live with not to bother them. Should we play the first one?
Yeah, let's play it.
So this is from Terry Simpson. He lives in Trenton, Georgia. And I love this.
What I've done in my household is I've installed a little switch on the wall. And on the other side of the wall, out in the core part of the house, I have an on-air sign. That's the notification that those that are in the house should be quiet. I installed this when my kids were very little, and they really didn't understand what I was doing. So it was a notification for my wife that the kids need not to be on that side of the house making a lot of noise. Now that my kids are a little older, they know and understand what the red light means as far as being on air.
Yes, this is what I need.
I know. He is a genius. And actually, I called Terry because I was so interested in this. Turns out this was not the easiest thing to build. I mean, it was easy for him because he seems like the fix-it guy, and I'm not like the home fix-it guy. So what he did was he bought this sign on Amazon. It's a light-up on-air sign, and I actually went and found some on Amazon that you can buy. I mean, they're not going to ship for a while. And then he drilled a hole in his wall. He snaked the cord through the wall. Then he installed it into an outlet that is by his desk. So it's all pretty complicated. I'm now going to challenge myself. I don't know when I'm going to find the time for this, and I don't know where I'm going to get the sign, but I want to challenge myself to do the same thing with smart home equipment. And I think it could be done really easily that you could turn your phone into the remote to turn on this on-air sign. So I now have a new weekend project.
I love this so much. I want you to make one for me, too.
I want to make one for everyone and not quit my job, but maybe make these. What I love about this, though, is that we heard from so many other readers who sent me their signs, who all sort of just like randomly had suggested this tip. And they obviously do it in a really low-tech way. They get a piece of paper, they get a marker or a pen, and they write on a sign something. Everyone should be inspirational and find their own inspiration and what they want to write on their quiet the bleep down sign. But, you know, quiet, I'm on an important phone call, quiet, please don't bother me, put it on your door, and don't forget to take it off when you're done.
Yeah, that's the important part, right? I mean, I think people have been talking about the don't cry wolf syndrome either.
Yes, one of our readers, Brittany Boyce from Yorktown, Virginia, sent in the same tip. She sent a photo of hers, which is a very nicely written conference call in session, please quiet down. And she wanted to remind me that we should not cry wolf with this. We shouldn't just put this up all the time, and we shouldn't forget to leave it up. We should only put it up when we really are on that important call or meeting. If that sign's up all day, then people aren't going to be quiet all day.
All right. Speaking of more columns and stories, people can still share their questions and stories with you, right? We're still collecting those?
Yes. And I have been so inspired by Terry and others. I really want people to share fun, wacky tips, but also questions. Again, nothing is too stupid. We want to hear everything.
Email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. Or you can leave a message at our work from home tech hotline, 314-635-0388. All right, Joanna, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
I'll see you next week.
By the way, if you are not busy this weekend, you might check out Instagram. There are a whole bunch of stars live streaming this weekend, and we're going to be talking to our reporter, John Jurgensen, all about it coming up next.
Comcast Business connectivity and network solutions help drive IoT devices, AI, and virtual network applications at peak performance to improve efficiency and customer experience for your business. Rely on Comcast Business for nationwide, secure, reliable performance powered by a gig speed network. Comcast Business, beyond fast.
So we're not all just working at home. We're also spending a lot of time doing other things at home, like streaming, for example. Platforms like Hulu and Netflix are seeing a huge surge, but it's not just them. It's also social media live streaming platforms. They are picking up a lot of eyes and providing a stage for a lot of those out-of-work entertainers who can't go on the big stage. So we wanted to talk to our reporter, John Jurgensen, about that. He's been looking into this new era of social distance-friendly entertainment, and he joins us now. Hey, John.
Hey there.
We're seeing some really big names do this. I mean, I kind of initially thought this was just going to be your, you know, average out-of-work singer who's using the moment where everyone's got their eyes glued on their computer. But we're seeing some big-name performers do this.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much anyone who's anyone is doing this. I mean, I think it really started rolling last week. That's when the kickoff started happening. You know, at the same time, a lot of regular people were at home. These celebrity entertainers were at home, too. And so you saw, you know, Chris Martin, John Legend, folks like that turn on their live function and start streaming songs and doing sets from their own home. I mean, I can't say that Chris Martin had never live streamed before, but it's probably likely that he hadn't made it a regular practice, especially from his home piano. You know, these are folks who in a lot of cases are used to having very controlled environments, very controlled studio settings where the sound is pristine and they're going to get everything just right. So you're seeing a lot more of this impromptu off the cuff stuff. Part of it is them just a lot of time on their hands, but also, you know, looking for ways to connect to people. And now that, you know, one group of people sees the other folks doing it, now everyone is doing it. And it's gotten to the point where it's not really possible to keep track of it anymore. Like last week, they were kind of scattered as people were starting to do it. And now it's just everywhere, all the time. So, you know, it's definitely peak live stream right now.
I mean, you mentioned the fact that a lot of these performers hadn't really been doing it before. It looks like some of the services are starting to help people out and setting up kind of how-to guides.
Yeah, I talked to YouTube about this. Seeing a huge rush of people come onto this platform. They're working with artists who've never done it before. So they put out a primer to these musicians as kind of best practices. Here's how to do it from your laptop. Here's how to do it from your mobile phone. Here's how to do it in this setting or that setting. And they're also sending out these primers to, to agents and to managers and to record labels, the people who support these big stars and musicians who don't necessarily always do this stuff for themselves. So they're helping them to get that done too. Sort of the cool thing about this is that we've really seen that, I mean, they could easily just record something and then upload that recording once they've got it right to YouTube so it lives there. That's the way it's always been done. There's something about the live stream, the live in-the-moment connection that people are really clamoring for. So I feel like that's a really interesting phenomenon here. Like, why is the live element so much more important and so much kind of like the premium on these experiences?
Yeah, I mean, on a personal note, I got a FaceTime chat from my sister the other day who lives in Germany, and she and my niece were sitting on the couch watching the Indigo Girls do a live jam. And that was a band that, you know, we listened to many years ago together. And it was this very special moment where the three of us who, you know, we wouldn't have been able to go to a concert together because they live in Germany and I live here. But to like sit and listen to them being, you know, the Indigo Girls being in their living room and us being in our living rooms listening to their music together, it felt like we were sharing this moment together in a much different way than we would have had it been a recording, right? They would have never called me up to say, hey, the Indigo Girls posted something online. You should listen to it together with us, you know? So it was really, we experienced a moment together in these like three completely separate spaces.
Yeah, there's an urgency to the live thing and the community aspect of the live thing that's really cool. And yeah, it sort of recalibrates your relationship, not with the artist, but with the people who you're sharing it with in that moment. It's going to be interesting also to see how this stuff gets kind of reappropriated by mainstream distributors. So, for example, Fox this weekend is going to be airing a benefit concert, quote unquote concert, that's going to be hosted by Elton John, who is going to be doing it from his living room. And he's going to be connected with all these other artists in the living room. So that's the kind of thing that would be a live stream, informal, off-the-cuff thing happening on the internet, but they're going to kind of upstream it to the broadcast network. So it's quite an experiment for sure.
Yeah, well, we are in experimental times for sure. Thinking back at how these streaming services on Facebook were, you know, they've been around for a while, like you say, and they didn't have a lot of buy-in, actually. I guess the question is, do we think this could be a catalyst for kind of changing perspective on how these live streaming platforms are used in the future?
It certainly is a tipping point, I'm sure. You know, this is the moment we all discovered Zoom if we hadn't been using before. In the same way, I think a lot of these celebrities are discovering Instagram Live or Facebook Live or YouTube Live. And they're probably going to be a lot more comfortable using this stuff in the future. And just like with all content, you know, just because someone's famous is going live doesn't mean they're making like good stuff, right? So, you know, you could get easily pretty bored of hearing your favorite star chat on and on about something if it's not really compelling. So I think especially as more of these live streams happen, it's going to be up on people to really actually do something cool with it. Live streaming, especially in music, because that's where we're seeing this happen the most, has always been sort of a no man's land, because venues don't want to live stream stuff because they're afraid it's going to take away their ticket revenue. Artists don't want to do too much live stuff online for free because it also takes into their income too. So it's going to be interesting to see how people are going to maybe use this as a bonus or an add-on, and just how they get more comfortable with it and do it as more of a reflex than as a kind of special thing.
Okay, so as you said, there are a lot of people doing this. Is there any way for listeners to stay up to date about where their favorite performers would be live streaming this weekend, for example?
Yeah, I mean, the centrally located apps, just like the internet is great for this, it's also really hard for this too. There's not a lot of great centrally located sources to find the stuff. A, because people won't always announce when they're going to be doing a live stream more than a couple hours before they do it. For music stuff, I have found that, you know, kind of Googling through Billboard and Pollstar and the sort of the industry trade magazines, they're keeping track of this. Jambase is a great concert industry sort of guidebook. They usually have concert listings and things like that, but they've been keeping a running tally of live streams as they're announced. So Billboard, you know, really, I think the best advice is to think about who would I want to hear from right now? Who are like my favorite singers? Who are my favorite comedians? Who are the people I just really value in terms of what they put out there? And go check out their social accounts and, you know, sign up for alerts, because chances are they're going to do something.
Those are some really great suggestions. John Jurgensen, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Great to connect with you.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget, you can share your work from home tech tips with us or ask us questions. We would love to try to find answers for you. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be answering them and giving her favorite tips here every day. You can leave us a voicemail at the number that we're going to put in the description, or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. Tech News Briefing is produced by the amazing Amanda Llewellyn. Production assistance this week came from Taylor Nakagawa. And, of course, big thanks to Joanna Stern. I'm your host, Kateri Yoakum. From all of us at The Wall Street Journal, thanks for listening and have a great weekend.